Okay, that wasn't bad. That was good. So, the title of the message tonight is Spending Next Year with God. And the place we want to start is in Matthew 1, verses 21 through 23. Matthew 1. 21 through 23. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. I especially like the end of that 23rd verse of Matthew 1. It ends with the interpretation of the name Emmanuel, God with us. That sounds so wonderful to me. I don't know how it does to you, but can you imagine God being with us? What does that mean to you? It reminds me that in the past, before I came to know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, that I used to find myself lonely, even in the midst of a crowd of people. I was interested only in me, and I had no interest in others, others that might have been of friends or benefit to myself. And some of it, of the things that I was involved in, were pretty ugly. It was a couple of months before Christmas that I came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. My life changed because God was now with me, and He was with me all the time that I spent looking for something that I didn't understand and I couldn't define. Loneliness is gone, because the Holy Spirit came into my soul, and He is God. And He has been with me ever since then. I hope that's the experience that you have, that you find. A person might ask me, how can you be without God? Well, there are times when the world and problems and difficulties crowd into our lives, and we start looking around and concentrating on the world and the problems and the troubles that are present in life. And somehow God gets displaced by things of the world. Do you know that most people somehow can get distracted by the sinful things that they get involved in? None of us intend to get involved in things that are against what God has commanded us to do. But we do get involved in the things that dishonor God. It's called sin, and it needs to be confessed to reestablish our relationship with God. As we consider the coming year, I would like us to think about God being with us and our being with God. It works both ways. He's always with us, but sometimes we just don't know it. Sometimes we forget that He's there, and we start thinking about other things. There are a few verses that deal with the subject, God with us, and us with God. And a couple of the verses are involved in both considerations. I believe that would be a good place to start would be 2 Corinthians 3:3. 2 Corinthians 3:3. And in 2 Corinthians 3:3 we read, For as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tablets of stone, but in fleshly tablets of the heart. We have the Holy Spirit living in our fleshly body, if we have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. And if he is not living in your body, then you don't know Jesus Christ. Because the instant that you believe on him, the Holy Spirit enters you and dwells you. When a person believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that person places their faith in Jesus, we believe that they are what we call saved. That means that God has forgiven all of that person's sin, and that person now has eternal life. You see, that part of Jesus' ministry while he was here on earth was paying the price for all of our sin with his own shed blood upon the cross of Calvary. He satisfied God's demand that the sin be paid for with blood. And he used his own blood to do the paying. Hebrews 9:22 tells us, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission." Without the shedding of... Pardon?
What's the last verse?
The last verse is Hebrews 9:22. Hebrews 9:22 says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission." I hope that you see that if Jesus hadn't poured out his blood on that cross, then none of us could ever have had our sins forgiven. We've been forgiven by God because Jesus hung on that cross and shed his blood for you and for me to pay for our sins. Something else happens when we get saved by believing upon what Jesus did on that cross. We have the Holy Spirit indwell our souls so that God becomes a part of us. We will never be alone again. God will be a part of us for all of eternity. I hope that is something that you have experienced. For without your being born again, when you leave this life through death, your soul will go to hell and experience torment for all of eternity. Now, we saw just a minute or two ago that this relationship with God is not written on paper, but on the very soul that is within us. Our soul has been born again, not your body, not your spirit, but your soul has been born again. And that causes a great change to take place within us. Our old nature has been replaced by a new nature, one that wants to please God and one that wants to be obedient to the commands and ordinances of God. Before we were saved, we lived our lives like we wanted to live. It had nothing to do with God's will. It was all about our free will and what we wanted to do. The Apostle Paul referred to this as our old man. Romans 6:6, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin." So the old man has been crucified. He's still there. He's still within us. But we have a new man living within us. What we are getting around to is that in this year to come, that we are going to make an effort to spend time with God that we would normally spend doing something that we want, rather than doing something that God wants for us to do. So we're going to choose to serve God rather than self. The new year is a time when many people make New Year's resolutions. We're going to resolve to spend more time with God doing what he wants us to do. I don't know what that will mean to you, but there will have to be some changes of some sort. If it's television or radio or games or whatever, we're going to, I trust, each resolve to spend more time with God this year. There are some things that I need to do to please God, and I find one of those things difficult to do because of my age and limited brain capacity. But I have talked to God about it, and I'm going to try. I've already told Gabriel, I'm going to try and learn a new language. We'll see how that works out. Have you talked to God about anything He might want you to do? He's there for that. He's always ready to use you if you're willing to do what He asks you. Most of the things that God will want us to do will involve people, or at least one individual. That is what makes it so hard. Other people want different things, and that is going to take effort. Let me tell you that it is usually hard to make changes. None of us like changes. We get established in our in the way we do things, and the way we live our life, and we set up a schedule and we go by that schedule, and it's hard to change and get a break away from that. You lose track of the day of the week, as some of us have done, and things just get very difficult when we try and make changes. It's hard to make changes, and so I'm not telling anyone. I agreed that I thought, well, I'm not telling anyone that I'm trying to learn another language, but I am. Because when you're unsuccessful, that's embarrassing. But I'm going to try. I am really going to try. See if I can do what I should do. Now, I got my task by talking to God, and His Spirit told me what I needed to do. Folks, I trust that there are times when you get alone by yourself and you talk to God, or you talk with God, not to Him so much as with Him, when you let Him talk back to you through His Holy Spirit in your heart. And as you talk with God, He will show you what He wants you to do, and he will help you do it if you will let Him. Now, I talked to God, and He gave me a challenge. Now, I was not happy with the challenge, and I told Him that. And I told Him, Lord, You're going to have to help me do what You're asking me to do. So I argued with Him. But I know what God wants me to do, and you can know the same thing. You can know what God wants you to do, and then it's your choice to do it or to do what you want to do. I may have to change my daily schedule so that I can find time to do what God wants. But it will be worth it if I can just get the mind working like it used to work. If I can't get the mind working, I'll have to let God get it working. And so, too many times, we depend upon ourselves and our own abilities to do things and accomplish things, when what we need to do is relax and let God do it through us and not operate in our strength or our expertise or our abilities, but let God do it. And then we can look back and see where God stepped in and took over and made it possible for us to accomplish the various things that we can accomplish. Are you willing to do something different for the Lord in this year to come? I hope so. So let me share a few verses that God has given us in His Word for encouragement. Because God wants to encourage us. He does not want us unhappy. 2 Corinthians 1, 20 through 22. 2 Corinthians 1, 20 through 22. For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now He which establishes us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Like I said earlier, if God wants a thing in your life, God will prepare you for it by providing what you need. If God wants you to do something special, if God has a task for you, God will provide the resources you need to accomplish that task. And you might say, well, I can't do this because I don't have the money, or I don't have the time. Or God will give you what you need to accomplish what he wants you to accomplish. God will prepare you. I sure hope so, because I'm going to need a lot. Hebrews 9:24. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Jesus Christ is no longer here on this earth. He was here 2,000 years ago, but we didn't live 2,000 years ago. We live today. And Jesus Christ is not... I'm going to have to be careful how I say this. Jesus Christ is not physically available to us. He's available to us in prayer. We can talk to him. He's in heaven, and we can talk to him just like we talk to God, just like we would talk. His Holy Spirit is in us. And so we can talk to him through the Holy Spirit, or we can talk to the Holy Spirit. And so God will use the Holy Spirit to communicate. Jesus is not here anymore, but the Holy Spirit is. And the Holy Spirit can communicate through the Word. After all, he inspired it. And the Word is the personification of Jesus Christ. And so the Holy Spirit can lead you into something new or something different in this coming year than what you have experienced in the past. This year, I want to walk with God in some new enterprises that will bring glory to God. I want to see people reacting to God in some special ways. I'm going to start the year with a new question on my mind and my heart. And I've heard about this has been suggested, and I heard it someplace, I don't remember where. But I'm going to start this year, and I hope you will too, with the question of, what can I do to glorify God in this year to come? What can I do to glorify God in this year to come? It should change us. It should make us more aware of who he is and what he wants. And so I would request that when you can get alone by yourself, ask yourself that question and then listen for an answer. Listen for an answer. The Holy Spirit will speak to your heart. But you have to hear him. And you have to understand whether it's the Holy Spirit or is it your own heart talking to you. And you know what the Lord tells us about our own hearts. They are deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? Okay? Deceitfully wicked. They deceive us. So we will ask ourselves those questions, and we'll see if we get an answer. Now, you might not get an answer the first time you ask, but if you expect an answer, I think you will get one. Let's start with a couple of verses from 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1, verses 1 and 2. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Folks, to get a knowledge of God, you have to do two things. One is you have to read your Bible. That will give you a knowledge of God. And second is you need to be as regular in church as you can be, because that is also where you will learn about God. So, if you have been saved by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, you're in the same relationship to God as anyone else in this room. We all have the same relationship to God. Hopefully, He is your Savior. Hopefully, He has made you His child. And hopefully, you are in communication with Him so that He can use you and accomplish the things that He wants to accomplish through you. So it is by the knowledge of God and the knowledge of Jesus Christ that we are able to serve Him. Now, you have the righteousness of God upon your life if you know Christ. And you are experiencing the knowledge of God and of Jesus in your life if you know Him. Nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is impossible for you if you have faith that God wants you to do something for Him. You are Jesus's servant, and He has a message that He wants you to do, of what He wants you to do, to carry to the world for Him. He is expecting you to deliver His truth to those around you. And He is ready to receive all those that you give the message to. There's no sense talking to anybody if you don't expect God to reach out to them. Why would you waste your time telling somebody about Jesus if you didn't think that they could be saved or that He could reach out to them and save them? We need to believe that God wants us to do that, and He does. He tells us that very clearly in His Word, that we are to tell others about Jesus Christ. We are to spread the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. If we take time before New Year's, we might think of some way that we could improve our walk with God. If we were to spend some time alone with the Lord between now and Wednesday or Tuesday night, most of the time, God walks with us. But wouldn't it be special for us to walk with God? It's like we're dragging Him along many times because we're not thinking about Him. And wouldn't it be nice to intentionally walk with Him? I don't mean that we would run ahead of God. We do that sometimes. We jump ahead of God. We run ahead of Him. We say, oh, I want this or I want that. And He's not providing it, so I'll go and get it myself. And we are destroying our relationship with God by doing those things. But I'd like for us this year to do something different. I'd like for us to think about and plan, actually plan, on doing something special for God. It may not be a big thing. It may be a little thing. Maybe one person that God would have you speak to, one person that you could start telling a little bit about God to, a person that you could tell him each time you see him a little bit more and a little bit more until you get to the point where they understand who Jesus is and what He has done for them. There are times when I will momentarily think of something that I could do for God as a way of showing my love for Him. But I don't know if you've ever experienced this. You think of something that you could do for God, and then you get busy, and pretty soon that thought is gone. Now, maybe it's just because I'm getting old. But That's the Holy Spirit trying to communicate with you things that God would like for you to do. When I think about it again, the same situation, the situation has changed, and I find that either I don't remember it like I did to begin with, or the opportunity is gone. An opportunity is a very strange thing. It is brief most of the time. Opportunity is very brief. Speaking to someone that you see, someone you don't know, but speaking to them about the Lord Jesus Christ, if you don't do it then, you may never see them again. And that may have been your one challenge for the day, so to speak, that God has given you an opportunity to speak to that person. And the reason I say that is because I experienced that in such a strong way, and God convicted me so badly of what I had done in not speaking to a particular woman sitting on a bench in a park with all those plastic bags around her that was all the things that she owned. And God told me to speak to her, and I was getting, Connie and the missionary, they were getting away from me. We were getting separated, and I thought, I don't have time to do this. And so, folks, if God speaks to you, do it then. Respond. I'm guilty. I did not respond like I should have. And God convicted me of it very strongly. I will not forget that woman. That was years ago. I will not forget what that woman looked like sitting on that bench. And so, hopefully God is going to use that to help me be more responsive to opportunities that he gives me. And I hope that you will be too. I hope you've never had a thing like that where God has told you to do something and it didn't get done. So, we all have the righteousness of God upon us. We're not righteous. There's none of us who are righteous, no, not one. But the righteousness of God is upon us. And if we act in his behalf, he will use us to accomplish the things he wants accomplished. Are you Jesus' servant? If you are, he has a message for you to carry to the world or to your part of the world. He's expecting you to deliver his truth to those around you. And he is ready to receive all those you tell that message to. Is there any reason that a person cannot be saved? Murderers can be saved. I've seen it happen. Thieves can be saved. I've seen it happen. Liars can be saved. You've probably seen it happen. And God wants to save his creation, every part of it. But a lot of them don't know about him. And it's our job to tell them. Excuse me, whistle needs wetting. There are times when I think about things that we need to do. And in my position here as pastor, if I don't act upon those things right then, a lot of times they don't get done. I'll give you an example. Last Sunday night, and I hope you were here, last Sunday night we had our candlelight service. We had a part of the service where we had no electric lights on. It was all candlelight. Windows were lit up. There were candles burning on the tables. There was two candle stands up front. And before the service started, Sandra came to me and she said, shouldn't we put something under those candles in case they drip? You remember that, Sandra?
Yeah.
I thought, okay, maybe she will. I told her, I said, there are some towels in the back that we can put under them. And I thought, maybe she'll take care of it. And I got busy doing other things because we were getting ready for the children's part of the activity and they were asking me questions and things. And I didn't do it. I did not put anything under those candles. When we took everything down that night, there was a patch on the floor about this big of wax in the carpet. It took 2 days for me to get that wax out of the carpet. The Holy Spirit, through Sandra, reminded me. And I thought about it when we put the candles out there. I thought, I ought to go get something to put under them right now. But I didn't do it. And the Holy Spirit told me to do it. And I paid a price for that. So, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, respond. And you have to realize who He is and hear Him in your heart. If we take time before New Year's, as I said, we might think of some way that we could improve our walk with God. Most of the time, God walks with us. But wouldn't it be special to walk with God? It could take you on a different path, a path that you haven't been on before. I don't mean that we should go ahead of God, that we should do something different than what we usually do. Occasionally, God will give us an idea of how to serve Him in a better way. But we are busy, and we don't take time to stop and change the way we serve Him. We don't take time to change directions, and the opportunity is lost. I have tried to start doing something different because I realize I am missing opportunities. When I think of something or I hear the Holy Spirit speak to me, I try and write it down. I have tablets everywhere with things written on them.
You got to read what you're right there.
You can't forget to read it, right?
And if I can go back and read it, I'll try and do it. But most of the time, I don't get back there till the opportunity is gone. And so, folks, we have to begin conditioning ourselves to respond immediately. There isn't a saying, slow obedience is no obedience. Slow obedience is no obedience. And so we need to learn to respond at the moment that God speaks. And occasionally, God gives us ideas that He wants us to follow through on. And if we don't follow through at that time, we're not going to ever do it. Hebrews 12:28 gives us some help. Hebrews 12:28 says, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, and that's heaven, that's the kingdom of God, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably, and that means immediately, with reverence and godly fear. Now, how many people determined to serve God in some new way in this year to come? And they serve Him in a way that we have not served before. God has called each of us to be part of His family and to serve Him in some particular way. I think that it could be exciting to do something different. That would involve serving God with some of the time that He's going to give us in the year to come. Perhaps it would be ministering at a nursing home to some of the residents, or you could get involved in a prison ministry. There is a great need for that. Or you can start a Bible study in your home or your office. Problem is, so many times we try and do too much, and we get either burned out or we get tired and we stop. Bible studies in homes are very effective ways of reaching a neighborhood for the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I have received an eternal kingdom. It will not pass away. It's called heaven. God wants as many people to go to heaven as possible. But first, they must accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. And that is where God can use us to help Him help these people come to the place where they know who Jesus is and are willing to trust Him. Carry gospel tracts in your pocket. I have some in. Well, I say I do. I took them out of the suit. I normally have gospel tracts during the week. Come in anytime you want. I've got gospel tracts in my pocket. And I pass them out to people. And you can do the same. And if you will, who knows what will happen with that tract? I believe we passed out over 5,000 tracts at the fair. And if one of those tracts suddenly finds its way into a person's hands, I told people to put them in their pocket, and they did, most of them did. Put it in your pocket and read it when you get home. And if they go through their pockets before they wash their clothes, they'll find that gospel tract, and who knows if somebody will sit down and read it and do what it says. Pray the prayer and accept Jesus Christ as Savior. God did not save you because you are anything special. He didn't save me because I'm anything special. I'm far from that. He saved you because He loves you. And He did not want to see you go to hell. That's the reason that He saves anybody. He called you to become His child. And He made all of the arrangements for your salvation. He's keeping you and will continue to keep you because He wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your name was written, if you're saved, your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before there even was a world. God knew what you would do with your life, and He knew you would accept Jesus Christ as Savior. So He's keeping you. Jesus has made us a promise. Everyone here tonight can claim that promise. Jesus promised you that He would come back and get you and take you to heaven to be with Him. And that's exactly what He's going to do at some time. Soon or not so soon. I think we may have another chance to see this world develop or this nation develop and move in a different direction. But if this nation is going to be successful, there must be revival, and that revival needs to start with us. You need revival in your heart. We all do. And I need revival in my heart. And so let's pray to God that He will send a revival where the Holy Spirit can take control of our lives and use us to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. Now, will you walk with God in this coming year? Will you obey Him in all that we do? You are not to hate anyone in this coming year. You are to love all the brethren and all of the other people that God brings across our paths. We are to love them. Black, white, red, yellow. Whether they're holding a cardboard sign or not, we're to love them. We think a lot of those people have chosen to live that way, and the choices that they have made have put them in that situation. Many of them are con artists, and they're living off the public. You see people handing them money out of their cars at corners and things. Some of them are legitimate. We are not to judge. We are simply to do for God what God moves our hearts to do. And if God says, give them something, give them something. And if he says, don't, don't. That's walking with God, when you listen to Him and you obey Him in all that you do. You're to forgive immediately, and this year would be a time to do that. We're to forgive immediately when we are offended, and we're to be a working part of this church. Each of us have a job to do. God has brought us here to do that job. You're to be the here whenever you can be, and be ready to glorify God in everything that you do. Make plans to spend your time with your Savior and walk in the Holy Spirit wherever He prompts you to go. God wants you to be close to Him. He is close to you. You may not realize it, but He wants you to be close to Him, to talk to Him, and be where God can and will find the next job for you to do for Him. He will help you to do it better if you learn about Him, if you are where He wants you to be. Spend this new year, we anticipate, with your Heavenly Father. Stay close to Him. Do what He wants. Listen for the Holy Spirit. Listen for His prompting. And respond immediately, and things will be so much better. Father, we want to walk with You. We know You walk with us. We're just not aware of it all the time. But Father, You have many opportunities that You lay before us. We ask that we will recognize them. Give us minds and eyes to recognize an opportunity that is before us. Use us, Father, to bring glory to Yourself. Use us to accomplish the things that You would have us to accomplish. And Father, we will praise You for all the things that are going to be done, for all the things You are going to permit us to do. And Father, we will praise You and the Lord Jesus Christ for what He did for us in saving us. Help us, Father, to share the Lord Jesus Christ with others. Help us to see someone turn to Jesus Christ in this coming year and receive Him as their personal Savior. And Father, we will praise You because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.